This is continuing on from Sunday. We finished at verse 10 on Sunday, so we're just going to carry on to the next section. And I mentioned that I've been preaching through Luke's gospel all last year, and this is how far I've gotten, so I'm hoping to finish this gospel this year. Luke is telling us of the man, Jesus, the man that God intended us all to be like, and except for sin, that's the man we would have been. However, we're going to pick it up at verse 11, and it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." So this is really continuing the Lord's experience as we were talking about it last week. The difference is now he's heading back to Jerusalem, and to do that he goes down between Samaria and Galilee. Galilee was Israel and Israelites, but the Samaria were not Israelites. They were Samaritans. And you might remember John's Gospel, chapter 4, the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan, and she gives a very good picture of the enmity, I suppose you'd say, between the two groups. And so the Lord is passing down that way. And in verse 12, "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." Now, you know, leprosy is a disease. It destroys the person. It's a deadly disease. And it's very contagious. And consequently, lepers were to not self-isolate, but isolate. They could associate together, but they had to maintain distance from healthy people. And we see that here. They were standing afar off. Now, leprosy, most of you, I'm sure, will understand, is also a picture of sin. Sin also debilitates. It also destroys, that is, brings death. Wages of sin is death. And it also separates the person from God and God's people. And we're going to see something about that this evening. You remember in Luke's gospel, Luke is, has told his listeners about the cross, or the Lord has, and then the Lord challenged them and said, "If you would be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." And later he made it more demanding by saying, "Except you do take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." And we're going to see something about that and some reasoning behind that. Sin does keep us at a distance and isolate from godliness and godly people. And so these lepers are standing afar off. And in verse 13 it says, "They lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" And here, no doubt they've heard of the Lord Jesus, and no doubt they've heard of his healings, but it's only now that he has come to them, he's passing through their area, that they call upon him. And for myself, I find it interesting that they say, "Have mercy on us." I would almost have expected them to say, "Heal us." But they say, "Have mercy on us." It at least makes clear that they have no demand that they can insist upon from the Lord. Their only hope is mercy. And that's true of us as sinners as well, isn't it? We have no ability to demand or even respectfully request in a way that expects, how could he deny? No, it's mercy. And so in verse 14, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." The Lord responds to their appeal for mercy, and yet he doesn't say, "Be healed." He says, "Go show yourself to the priest." Well, if you're familiar with the Bible teaching on leprosy, when a leper seemed to be healed or getting better, he would show himself to the priest, and the priest couldn't heal him, but the priest would judge whether he is free of the leprosy or not, whether he can come back into fellowship and association with God's people. He couldn't do that with leprosy. And so they were told to go to the priest. Now, I presume that that means when the Lord said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest," they assumed that meant that he would heal them. Otherwise, why would they be going to the priest? They're to keep their distance from everybody. And but nevertheless, whatever they thought, it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Now notice that. They cried out for mercy, not for healing, and the Lord didn't say, "Be healed," or that they didn't notice that they were healed, but that they were cleansed. And I like that wording, because I think the greater cleansing is being washed in the blood of Christ, isn't it? And there was this cleanness that they never experienced as lepers with leprosy. This happened as they went. And why did they go? Because Jesus told them, "Go show yourself to the priest." So we have a situation where the Lord comes to them, they call upon him for mercy, and he sends them to the priest, and at some level or another, they must believe him because they head off for the priest. And whenever we take God at his word, believing that good will come of it, that God's will would be accompanied with blessing, we act by faith, and there is cleansing. It is good to be washed clean from our sin, isn't it? Wonderful thing. It may not always be obvious, but I think much of sin leaves us feeling quite defiled and unclean. Whatever the case, they went and they were cleansed. And so, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, notice the change of word, when he noticed that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, why didn't he go on with the others to the priests? Why did he go back to the Lord Jesus? Well, the obvious answer is because it was the Lord that healed him. It was the Lord that made him clean. It was the Lord that had mercy on them in response to their request. And his heart was filled with gratitude, with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And more specifically in this verse, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Now, I don't know, this is just my imagination. You don't have to follow me on this, but I like to think he went back, and all the way back, he was praising God and rejoicing. And if anybody bumped into him along the way, say, I'm healed, I'm clean. You know, he's quite excited. God is good and has graciously worked with me, not only cleansed me, but healed me. And whatever the truth of that is, at least when he arrived back at the Lord Jesus, he did verbally glorify God. That's a significant statement, because if you remember on Sunday, God created man in his own image and likeness. We were intended to be the visible representation of the invisible God. We were created in order to be to live for his glory. And that's what this man is doing. He's glorifying God. And in doing that, he goes back to the Lord Jesus. And so in verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, Maybe he didn't go on to the temple and the priest in order, or because he was a Samaritan. Don't know if they would even let a Samaritan into the temple grounds or the wherever the priest was at that particular area and time. He was a Samaritan. But notice this, and notice the contrast. In verse 16, he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. Contrast that with verse 12. 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. The distance has been eliminated. The need for separation from that leprosy brought, or that sin brings, the distance and separation from God has been removed. And we, especially on this side of the cross, understand how close and how intimate our relationship with God is as believers. And here's this Samaritan man. He doesn't hesitate to go right to the Lord Jesus and fall at his feet. I don't know if he kissed his feet. I don't know if he held his feet, but he was right there in direct contact with the Lord Jesus. And he gave him thanks. He had a great deal to be thankful for, didn't he? I think we see the fact that he was cleansed, he was healed, and that by the Lord Jesus, who simply said, go to the priest, and they obeyed him, took him at his word, and did that. And the result was, for the man, his healing. But more importantly for this man, he was brought into a fellowship with God that whereby he can glorify God, where he can be a man as God intended him to be. And I would suggest that that is only in Christ that can be. And consequently, he went back. It wasn't the priest that could heal. All the priest could do is say, well, sure enough, you're healed, you know. But the Lord Jesus did. And so he's glorifies God and he's giving thanks to the Lord Jesus. It seems an appropriate response, doesn't it? In verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, I always assume because of the emphasis on this man being a Samaritan, the other 9 are Israelis. And I like that idea, but it's not necessarily true. There's nowhere that it says that they were. But as Israelis, they knew the law, and they would happily go to the priest, and having been proclaimed clean, they would happily have offered the sacrifice that was appropriate and expected. Where were the 9? Well, they were, I'm sure, rejoicing in their newfound cleanness. They were rejoicing that they could get a life. They could fit in with the rest of Israel. They could get back to their religion. They were not under a curse of the law. And they could identify with their people once again. Well, lepers can only identify and associate with lepers. Sinners automatically identify and associate with sinners and don't really want much to do with born-again believers, I'll put it that way for us today. And so the 9 were quite content to go back to the life of Israel, which was living in expectation and anticipation of their coming Savior. But they missed the point. He had come. It was him that spoke the word, and it was him that they believed enough to do what he said and go off to the priest. And when they found that they were healed, there doesn't seem to be a spark of thankfulness in them to him, let alone a recognition that he is God's Christ. And so the point is, they go back to their religion and the practice of their religion. And the good thing about that is we can go to our religious meetings, do the things that are required of us, and be strong and healthy to live happy lives, you know? Live the way we desire to live. Live the way that feels good for us, and so on. But the one denied himself, took up his cross, and followed Jesus. He came back to the Lord Jesus, embraced him with thanksgiving and praise to God. He wasn't interested in ceremonies and services. He wasn't interested in having the right answer to all the hard questions about God or something like that. He was connected with the Lord now. Before, he'd been separated by sin. Well, that's the truth in our case. I don't think any of us have been lepers, but we were just as separate from the Lord in our sin as he was in leprosy, wasn't it? Isn't that so? We had no great expectation in our sin other than death. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. By the way, that's a good description of dying, not of living. And so what is our life about? Well, better enjoy yourself while you can. That's the whole idea. But not this one. This Samaritan, he was different. And so in verse 18, it says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? What makes that question significant is the statement, you all know it from our New Testament concerning sin, that all have sinned and are coming short of the glory of God. Sin prevents us from glorifying God. When you go back to that first man, Adam, and his wife, created without sin, put in a paradise, enjoy, is all yours. Well, except for one thing. And all they had to do was trust him. All they had to do was deny themselves that one tree. And yet the temptation revolved around that. And do you remember what the tempter said? You will be as gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, we become our own standard of good and evil, right and wrong, and we live our lives for our own enjoyment, not for God's glory. And that was the downfall of man. All the acts of sin, the moral sins and ethical sins and all that sort of thing, they're the byproduct, they're the result of that deadly sin of rejecting God for our own ways and ideas. And so this foreigner, this enemy of Israel, this today we would say Gentile, was the only one who would glorify God. I don't think it's difficult for any one of us to understand that there's not one of us can glorify God apart from God's salvation, apart from our oneness, our intimacy with the Lord Jesus. And that means apart from denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him, as Luke's gospel says. And so in verse 19, he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, it wasn't that this leper came to the Lord Jesus because he believed in him at the first. No, he was isolated with the other lepers, and the Lord actually came to him and was passing by. And only then did he call out to him. The faith was taking the Lord at his word, trusting him, living or doing what the Lord said. Go show yourself to the priest, and they headed off. Well, that was quite a blessing to find out that he was healed and cleansed, isn't that so? But when he comes back to the Lord and he's praising God and he's thanking the Lord Jesus and he's able to embrace the Lord, he's in this oneness with him, he now has a relationship with the Lord Jesus. If the first miracle of this story is bodily healing, the greater miracle is salvation, and that by faith in the Lord Jesus. The other nine knew the miracle of physical healing, but apparently they didn't know the greater miracle of salvation. Back to the old life, we can do it, we can measure up to the law. And the sad thing is, it's a fairly accurate picture of present-day North America, isn't it? We go to church, and even evangelical churches, go to church, go to meeting, have a good time, and then go home and live your best and enjoy your life and follow your career and success or popularity or whatever it is that your life is about. And then on Sunday, back to meeting, unless there's a major ball game on at that time. You understand what I'm saying. That's kind of like the nine. But the one that returned, that's the one who walks with the Lord. We walk with the Lord according to his word and ways, and so are involved with him and what he is doing at any given moment. And we, of course, we know much more than this Samaritan would because we live after the cross. But he has even gifted us that we can be an active part of what he is doing at any given moment of our lives as well. And so it is this one man who illustrates the nature of salvation and the intimacy that we have with Christ, an intimacy of faith. We want to make sure that having believed in the Lord Jesus, that we take him at his word, deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him. Doesn't mean beat ourselves up. It doesn't mean we can't laugh at a good joke, or we don't find pleasure in our family, or it doesn't mean you can't have success at business either, for that matter. But it does mean that every minute of every day we walk, live, act in intimate union with Christ in doing God's will, whether we're at work or whether we're at play. It's not a matter of worshiping him for an hour on Sunday morning or an hour on Wednesday evening, but every minute of every day. And I think this leper gives a good illustration to what the Lord has been teaching them and he has built up to through all this this part of Luke's gospel. That's everything that I want to say. Lord willing, we'll carry on at verse 20 on Sunday and finish the chapter. And I think that will contribute even something else, the next step in this unfolding of practical unfolding of this teaching of Luke's gospel. So I trust there will be some blessing for you. Father, we thank you for your love to us in giving us your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would leave the eternal glory, as it were, and become a man and live amongst men and suffer the death of the cross because you loved us so. And we marvel at the life that you have given us. We just cast ourselves afresh upon you that we might not allow ourselves to be deceived, that we might continue to do your will in the fullness of your Spirit and to the glory of God, and that with thanksgiving at every moment of every day. We ask it of you in your own name. Amen. Amen.